I'm impressed with Mitch today. Mitch and Maloney are busting it in the Octon Community Studios today with everything they've got going on. And the Halloween music has been fantastic. So here's a friend of the show, good friend of mine, and an entertaining dude who just works like crazy, yet a great dad. But we'll see if he's the same coach that can beat Zoe. Mystery guest number three.
This mystery guest grew up in a town of less than 800 people, has a vinyl record of the Super Bowl Shuffle, and inherited Peyton Manning's office when he joined the Colts. He's coached for 8 different teams in his career, but off the field, he's a true hero after he rescued a child trapped under a car. Mystery guest, reveal yourself.
Good morning, James Betcher here.
How about that? I haven't had a beer with you and heard about the child story. Come on. I didn't know you're a hero. How are you?
No, I'm doing great, but the real heroes are, you know, the men and women of our first responders, our police force, all the 911 operators. Those are the real heroes that are walking around. That was my wife and I just happened to be in a situation where we saw a pretty horrific thing happen, and we did what anyone would do.
Oh, man, James, that's fantastic. Good to talk to you. Thanks for coming in. For those of you that have just tuned in and you might not know, Wolf is off today, and it's just because, hey, the Cardinals had a bye week, and he sweet-talked management into giving him a day off, so he's not here. So we've had a series of mystery guest co-hosts today, and that was the big introduction for the former Cardinals and Giants defensive coordinator, James Betcher, coming in. Thanks for filling in for Wolf, because you know, without you, we would have had nothing. And Wolf does this all the time.
Well, you know, if anyone knows, and most people do in sports history, there was a first baseman that played for the Yankees in the early 1920s, and he helped them win some pennants. And unfortunately, you know, he gets hit by pitch in batting practice, and someone takes his job. And that was the Wally Pipp. You know, that's why I'm here, to Wally Pipp, and maybe I'm the next Lou Gehrig. So the next 2,000 plus, because Doug, I know for the longest time you've been trying to somehow Wally Pipp Wolf, haven't you?
No, it's the exact opposite. I'm always looking for the guy that will Wally Pipp Wolf, and I can tell you, JB and Doug sounds pretty good. Or coach in media, something like that. So
Listen. I'm going to be coaching next year, Wolf. Okay. Don't worry, Wolf. Wolf's driving right now to the studio. He's in his car. He threw his game day hat on, and he said, you know, he's supposed to have a vacation with his family. Had to tell his wife and kids he's got to run to the studio because he heard that you and I were planning against him. So let's not make him do that.
Oh, good.
I'm going to be coaching.
I have no doubt we're talking to a future head coach of the NFL, James Betcher, joining Doug and Wolf this morning. Okay, when like I said, hey, if the day comes that you're a head coach, or in the times that you've been a coordinator with the Cardinals and Giants, you've got an issue if you're with the Cardinals right now. 2019, worst game of the year was after the bye week. Now, it's a strange bye week last year. It was the last weekend you're even allowed to have a bye. It was week 12. It was the weekend before Thanksgiving. So you've got a bye. You've then got Thanksgiving, and then you're supposed to be ready to play the Rams. And they got absolutely smoked. Here's Cliff Kingsbury.
Just addressing it and understanding you know, last year coming off the bye was the one game since I've been here that I felt we were just non-competitive. I thought we had a bad week of practice. It rolled right into Thanksgiving. I mean, it was kind of a combination of things. And you know, we were awful against the Rams, and they kind of embarrassed us. And so just addressing and making sure guys understand we got to stay more locked in this year. We have to individually take it upon ourselves to keep the focus and stay dialed in and stay on this kind of energy that we're on right now.
When you're coming off of a bad bye weekend like you had last year, yet it's a completely different year, you've got a good thing going. JB, what would your message be right now if you were in that Cardinals locker room, or you were in any locker room with a similar situation?
Yeah, no doubt. There's really three things, and I think Cliff hit it on the head, and he's so smart to kind of foreshadow to the players, hey, here's what we need to think about and address before it happens. I mean, that is number one that you have to do with your team. Then number two, this is a time where you develop your prescription. You know, if you go to the doctor, you know, you have a cold, you have something going on, they write you a prescription. And mm-hmm. if you take whatever that medicine is, you assume that you're going to fix whatever the ailment was. So it's on the players and coaches right now. We would sit in and take a look at all the things that both individually as players were deficient as, and both as a unit that we're deficient as, and write our prescription for those things and develop our plan for over the course of the next 9 weeks, 8 weeks, 10 weeks, 5 weeks, however many weeks we'd have left after the bye, that we're going to remedy those ailments. And it's important to use this time for that. And I think that's both an individual and a collective thing. I think that's both players, like, being where your feet are, coaches, be where your feet are. We all think about, trust me, I've been there. We all think about those 3 days, 4 days off that we have a chance to get, or 2 days, however it works out, that you have a chance to be off. But it's really important just collectively and individually to work the prescription and work the plan to remedy those ailments.
Even though you touched on it, if you just tuned in, this is James Betcher, former defensive coordinator of the Cardinals and the Giants. What for you was the most important thing to accomplish during the bye week?
For me was just to talk to each individual player and have an honest conversation about where they're at, what their role is, and what their role could look like moving forward if we address A, B, and C. That way the players have a great idea of moving forward, some of the things that they need to work at over the course of the next 3 or 4 weeks. If they want to improve their role, increase their role, put themselves in a position to contribute more, or define that role a little more maybe for an individual player. Like, hey, this is what we need you to do. You're a third down rusher. Hey, we're going to bring you in some blitz packages. You're going to be a guy that's first and second down, going to help us become a top 10 run defense or top five run defense. I think that kind of dialogue and communication is really important. I think, and I think most players are looking for that dialogue and communication during that window of break. That's certainly is the number one priority that I have as I look at the bye week.
You know, I got to tell you, I know the answer to this question, but I'd rather hear it from you. And I think listeners would rather hear it from you than me. And that is, you can't handle the bye week unless you have leadership that sounds like this.
Understanding what happened last year, what I did last year, for me, there is no bye week. Last year, you know, we kind of treated it as if there was a bye week. This year, head stays down. And for me, there really, like I said, there's no bye week for me. So I'm going to keep at it be ready to come back and lead these guys.
How would you feel to have a second-year quarterback saying, head down, there is no bye week?
Wow. Wow. Because earlier, I didn't even say the third thing, and this alludes to it. I said there were three things
you
really got to focus on during the bye. And this is the third thing. Just like, understand what we need to get done right now. That this Cardinals team is a different team than the team in 2019, a different team in 2018. Every year is a different year in the National Football League. Where are we at right now? What do we need to do right now in the present? And that just speaks volumes to it. That's a great clip. And that's a young player in this league that's figuring it out fast.
I love when he says, last year we took a bye week, this year we can't. I mean, for him to address it, that's such a wake-up call for everybody else. It's really cool having James Betcher. If you just tuned in, he's going to join us next. We got a lot to talk about. Number one, he's coach Josh Morrow. What does that do for the Arizona Cardinals? And even though there's a bye week for the Cardinals, this is a huge weekend for the NFC West and playoff spots. Let's run through some games. That's all next with James Betcher, mystery guest co-host today, filling in for Wolf on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Oh, how about that? Flashing the three this morning here on the Doug and Wolf Show as you've driven the American economy to a successful week and you get the cheese ball song of the century working for the weekend. James Betcher is filling in for Wolf. JB, have we ever told you the story of Loverboy on the Doug and Wolf Show? Do you know the story?
I do not. Give it to me.
Okay. So here's what happened. Craig Wolfley was the star of Orchard Park, New York, and Wolf just reveres his brother. I mean, it's kind of creepy how much he reveres his brother. But there was one flaw Wolf saw all the time, is on a Friday night, he would pull out a comb from his Jordache jeans, and his brother would stand in the one bathroom that they had for a family of five and brush his hair, feather it back, and get ready to take on the town and listen to Loverboy. And Ron says he knew that was cheeseball and couldn't believe his beloved brother would go cheeseball every weekend. Well, he told us that story, and then we started playing Loverboy, and he got mad. He said, no, I don't want anybody to know about this. And then we didn't play it the next Friday, and listeners started getting mad. So we started playing it every Friday, but there's one promise, and no one's ever broken it. No one can ever tell Craig Wolfley that we play this song every Friday, even though in the world of Twitter and the world of the Pittsburgh Steelers, no one has ever broken the promise as a listener to the Doug and Wolf Show to tell Craig Wolfley that his brother loves him, but secretly his brother thinks he's very cheeseball for wanting to listen to Loverboy on a Friday night in Orchard Park, New York. There's the story.
I love it. Hey, Wolf is, he's, there's only one, and there only ever be one.
You're right about that. It's a weird life waking up at the hours that I do and looking at that guy for 14 years. Very strange. I want to get to, for those of you who don't know, we got so lucky to have James Betcher because he has coached so many different guys. We talked to him on Wednesday about being able to see what it's like to have Marcus Golden come back to the Cardinals. Well, you've also coached somebody else that has come back. Give us a rundown on what Josh Morrow can do now that there's, you know, different injuries into this defensive front seven.
Yeah, Josh is really built in the same mold as Marcus. They're both tough, physical players who just love to play football, both of them. And they're great teammates. They're going to be great in meeting rooms. Josh is going to be in the defensive line meeting room. I can already see it. I've been at two places with Josh, and he's going to be asking all kinds of questions. He's going to be highly engaged with Brinston Buckner, the D-line coach. They know each other really well. And he's going to improve the rotation there. And this is a guy that has some position flexibility. He could play interior, three technique. He could even play nose. He did that for us here in Arizona some. He could also play some defensive end where he's playing head up on tight ends and trying to beat up tight ends in the run game. So it's a really nice addition, a guy that they went out and, you know, Steve's doing things Steve kind of does. He goes out and finds guys that he knows about and trusts and can bring in and help the rotation.
Just listening to you talk about it, and I've never had a beer with Josh, so I don't know, but it sounds like in order to be able to be productive when you just get dropped into a new situation is you got to have a high football IQ, and it seems like you're explaining that's a strength of Josh.
No, Josh is a really, really sharp football guy. He'll understand the language and terminology after a day. That's he really fantastic. Will. He'll hit the ground running, and he won't miss a beat. And that's just a testament to him. Smart kid, Stanford kid now.
Yeah, that's okay. Look out there. He's well out of my league. This is Steve Keim from a couple weeks ago when Chandler Jones got hurt. What's available at this point going into the trade deadline?
I think there's some, you know, again, there's so many things go into a trade. It's two teams that are willing to make it happen. The question of why is a team willing to part with a player that you covet? Then there's the second part, which is the financial part. You know, it's a real thing, especially when you look at whether it's a one-year deal. Are you trading for a guy and giving up draft compensation for essentially 10 games with this COVID process? Are you able to benefit from multi-years left on their contract? There's so many things that go into it that you have to weigh and just do the best thing you can for the organization.
I bring this up because you're going to love this. Typical media, hey, just throwing stuff on the wall, but there's a writer for USA Today that listed the top 32 moves every team should make, one move going into the trade line. Some teams selling, some teams buying, blah, blah, blah. He used the same name for two teams, and that's what's scary, Seattle and Arizona. He said they should be in an arms race to make a move for J.J. Watt. Now, J.J.'s got $17 million left next year on a contract in a pandemic when the salary cap's going to go down. But when I say that to you as a defensive coordinator, what do your eyes tell you when I say J.J. Watt to finish a season?
Well, I'm smiling right now. I'd be excited. I think everybody would. I think the fees, you know, whether it's feasible or not from a salary cap perspective, like you talked about, you know, J.J. Watt's a dynamic, game-changing player. He has been, he still is, and he will be for more years to come. So there, that does make a lot of sense. But, you know, this is the thing I learned from Steve, and it, and people that have never worked with Steve in the building, I'm just telling you, he is one of the best in the National Football League at what he's doing, and I'm not just saying that.
Why?
You know,
why? Steve, what's he do?
Here's because right there, and what I heard from Steve is the perspective he always takes is the one thing we always – the one fallacy of the NFL is we always know too much about our own guys and too little about guys that are somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
And that's exactly what – why are people selling? Why do people want to get rid of somebody? There's obviously always a multitude of reasons, and one is always financial. But the other ones, you just don't know because tape doesn't always tell the story.
Mm-hmm.
It tells a big portion of the story, but there's that percentage that sometimes is hey, it's going to work in our locker room or it's not. You don't know. And you and that's the fallacy of it. And he's always had such a good perspective on that when we added guys to our team that they fit the mental makeup and identity of what we wanted to be that year, you know, because every year is a little bit different with mm-hmm. you know, the turnover players and sometimes even coaches. It's a little bit different from year to year. And I thought Steve was always very well connected with that.
You know, I'd love for you to go deeper into that. I admit I wanted to talk a bunch of different games with you, but just hearing you say that, you have an insight that none of the rest of us have. There are a ton of general managers that are basically, okay, here's my 53-man roster. It's the end of September, and I'm done here. And, you know, and Steve is the type of person that is always talking about player 52, player 47, player 50. Who else is out there that I can get better right now? Yet you as a defensive coordinator – I'm assuming that's not always easy. All of a sudden you get dropped in a new guy. Did you appreciate that about Steve? What made that part of your job difficult when you might be getting a new guy in your room all the time?
You know, I loved it because at some point in time, as you have seen now with the Cardinals having some injuries and you look across the NFL with teams that are injuries this time of year starting to pile up, guy that's at the spot 47, spot 50, spot 52, they're going to play. Mm-hmm. And they may play in meaningful snaps. And more importantly, they may play when the game's on the line. Mm-hmm. In the two-minute drill at the end of the game when you're down three driving to try to score and kick a field goal to send it to overtime. I don't know. Mm-hmm. You don't know when that's going to come up. So you embrace that as a coach in this league because that's just how it is, and you have to be ready for that. I remember a scenario when I'm here in Arizona. I was coaching the outside linebackers coach. And I was the outside linebackers coach at the time, and we played New Orleans. We lost Sam Acho to an injury. Unfortunately, Lorenzo Alexander to a significant injury. And the next week we go to Tampa and we bring three new guys in. And of our top three outside linebackers, two of them had just came on the team that week. Oh. And so here you are, you know, I'm scrambling around trying to get the guys ready. And Dante Mock, I don't know if you remember the name, comes in, plays in Tampa, has a sack. On third down, helps us win the game, gets a game ball because he just got there that week. And that's just how it is. And that's, you know, and that's why it's so important that you know, the thing Steve said there is that we, you know, he's alluding to the fact that we need to know as much as we can about guys that we're bringing in. That way, when they get their chance, can we trust them? Can mm-hmm. we count on them? And it might not be the same skill level as J.J. Watt, as we're talking about a player like that. But at the end of the day, the execution is the most important thing. Then after that, the ability of the player takes over, and that's sometimes it's not things that are coachable.
Now, the last thing I got to hit with you, and I admit I'm up against the break, but yesterday Lorenzo Alexander said he would certainly take his kids' flag football team and be able to out-coach you and embarrass you. Do you have a response?
Well, the word embarrassed is pretty strong. It's pretty strong. And I think I know the mental makeup of my 8 and 9 year olds, and they're pretty tough. And I think I'm going to play this clip for them and I'm gonna let it marinate a little bit and see how they respond, because I'm pretty sure the character of my kids, they're gonna be ready to play, and we're gonna have to set this thing up. This is gonna be a showdown now.
There it is, though. Get ready. Hey, JB, you were fantastic. Thanks, Betch. Good to talk to you, my friend. Thanks for coming on.
Yeah, thanks. God bless.
Absolutely. There's James Betcher joining us on the Coulter Automotive Group Sports Line. Coulter Nissan is the place to go for your next new or pre-owned Nissan. Visit CoulterNissan.com, west of the hassle. That's James Betcher. We went a little hardcore football and what it's really like to be a defensive coordinator in the NFL. But there's one subject matter that we haven't talked about at all, and you'll be shocked at how close we are to the NBA draft. And we got our college basketball insider and a special mystery guest co-host next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Nothing that's a huge deal. Wolf's fine. He's just taking today off since it's a bye weekend for the Cardinals and stretching out a three-day weekend with his family. And in the coronavirus world, we decided, you know what, we probably shouldn't try to ask guys to come in studio and have one guest co-host fill in all day. So Maloney had the idea of mixing it up with different guest co-hosts, but she kept it a mystery to everybody involved. Now it's time for mystery guest co-host number four.
Our next mystery guest played more minutes than any other Sun Devil from 1999 to 2003. He's terrified to ride in a car with Doug, and he got into a fight with Luke Walton. Mystery guest, reveal yourself.
I am Kyle Dodd.
Now, Maloney, I believe Maloney must have written that herself. Kyle Dodd, color analyst of the Arizona State Sun Devils, alongside voice of ASU and voice of research and Doug, Tim Healy. I think terrified is the wrong word, because for those
of you, it's an understatement.
No, for those of you who don't know, I was a little nervous that there's different levels of driving, and the last level is dealing with my wife if I miss a flight. That is the, I would say beyond that is somebody's actually hurt, which is a different story, not funny. But if I think we're gonna miss a flight, I'm gonna make sure we don't miss that flight. And Kyle was in the car while we were making sure we didn't miss the flight. And did we miss the flight, and were you safe? Yes and yes, correct?
I mean, okay, this is horrible to say, but imagine dying in a car crash and then just back that off about just a tiny bit, and that's what it was like.
You're awful. You enjoyed every second of it.
I did. It was amazing. It was one of the more impressive things I've ever seen in my lifetime. It was. Because not only were you switching four lanes, going about a buck 20, but you were on the phone with Jennifer, checking baggage claim, checking rental car. I mean, we did it. You did it all. It was impressive. I don't care what people say about you. That you'll forever, you will go down as a legend. And just in that 20-minute, it was a 45-minute drive that we got there in about 18.
I will strongly suggest to everyone listening, that's not funny. Speeding is not funny. And there was no way there was a little bit of exaggeration there. I'm dying to talk. You and I have not caught up draft-wise. So, of course, the most important question to you is, what do the Suns need to do? Sell the farm, sell everybody to get Obi Toppin? Because you got to go UD Flyer in this draft at number 10.
Somehow I knew you were going to say that for sure. And I don't think he'll be there at 10, but to be honest with you, that'd be nice. And, you know, I was like getting ready to come on, and I'm thinking, you know, what is the biggest need for the Suns right now? And I mean, if anybody watched what they did in the bubble, it's like, man, maybe point guard depth, you know, maybe, mm-hmm. But really it's one of those situations. I think the Suns got to take the best player available, because at this point, I mean, they have pieces. They got a big, we saw what Ayton did once he got back from injury, and he played, you know, some inspiring basketball in the bubble. And obviously Devin Booker's on the verge of being a megastar, and you got some role guys that just seem to fill the right pieces. I mean, it was fun to watch. I mean, to go 8-0, I mean, you know, their back is against the wall, and they had nothing to lose. But just it was just kind of a glimpse into the future. If they decide that they want to play and play with that energy on both ends of the floor, I mean, the ceiling is you know, so high for this team. So I think they got to really just draft on whoever's the best player available at 10.
I'm so glad you're with us, because I admit I consider myself a huge NBA draft guru because of how much I love college basketball, how much time I spend watching college basketball. And admittedly, I went to the Maui Invitational last year, so I saw OB in three games. I saw this great Dayton-Kansas game, which in my mind was the national championship game since we got robbed from the tournament. But I also got to see Anthony Edwards in two of his games. I didn't go to any Chaminade games, and Georgia played Chaminade one game. You saw Anthony Edwards in an ASU Georgia game that was actually at I almost said Sun Devil Stadium, at Wells Fargo Arena at the time. Did they already change the name by last year? I think they did.
Desert Financial.
So with that, I'm wondering from you, I do have a weakness this year, and that is so many of the guys are international players. One from Israel. I consider LaMelo Ball an international player because he really didn't do anything here in this country. Killian Hayes is interesting because he's half American. You know, his dad he was born in Florida, but he grew up playing all professional ball in France. There are so many guys on the list. Wiseman is another one, another American kid, but I don't know much about because he played like two or three games with Memphis. When you look around, and I know you said best player available, but who is your number one guy? I mean, who's the guy you would stand on the table and say, this is the best player? Because even that's hard in this draft.
It really is. And especially with what's gone on, you know, in our world the last six, right, 7 months, it's been a different pre-draft. There is no pre-draft. You haven't seen a lot of these guys, you know, as much as you've seen in the past. And I think, you know, you're going, like you said, there's so many guys from Europe, and there's guys that just, a guy like, you know, Anthony Edwards had a decent freshman year, but I wouldn't say he was, you know, over the top. But you got these guys that you haven't seen, like Wiseman, you know, the kid's 7'1", he played one game at Memphis and you didn't see him again.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
obviously his ceiling is off the charts. And I think this is one of those drafts where a lot of people could hit home runs by guessing, and a lot of people could get it wrong. And I think it's, you know, Anthony Edwards, LaMelo Ball, Killian Hayes, those guys are probably locked into those top three spots. But I mean, outside of that, it's a crapshoot. And even the top two, I mean, you expect Anthony Edwards to probably go number one, but like you said, I saw him in person and I wasn't overwhelmed. I mean, he's a nice player, very talented. He reminds me of Lou Dort with maybe another inch or two for ASU fans, but you know, LaMelo Ball, the 6'7" point guard. I think, you know, he's ridiculously talented, but I think that just the last name puts a big caution sign for a lot of people.
You know, I'm gonna this is where people on Twitter are just gonna roast me, but I'm gonna make a crazy comparison with Anthony Edwards. He reminds me of a lot of a slightly less athletic LeBron James. And I don't mean that as complimentary as a lot of people are gonna say. And here's why. LeBron James had a major problem with accepting competition. He was so much better than other players that, well, he was at St. Vincent M, which is a high school in Ohio. He cared deeply about getting everybody involved to the point of it wasn't about beating the other team. And it took like 5 years, 6 years, 7 years into his career before he really embraced competition. He's the only player I've ever seen who wasn't a competitive person that became competitive. Usually it's innate. I see a lot of that in Anthony Edwards. Every time he's on the floor, he's the best player on the floor. But I don't get the feeling he cares enough to beat you every time. Can you feel what I'm saying there, or do you think I'm nuts?
No, I mean, I get it. And I think it goes hand in hand with just kind of the culture that we have right now and the AAU basketball scene. And when you're as physically gifted as the guy like Edwards or even LeBron was at that age, you know, you can rely on your physical talents and you can get by. And, you know, what's really scary is when you have those talents and those abilities physically, but you have that dog inside you. And I think that's where LeBron, like you said, when LeBron really turned the corner, or any of these guys that are superstars turn the corner, it's they have the dog inside them that matches, you know, their physical gifts and attributes and the skill set that they can bring to the table. And
like
I just
Devin
think
Booker.
That
you see it in book.
Yeah, oh, yeah. And it's like, you know, there's And you really saw, especially with the passing of Kobe, you know, I have so many Kobe stories that I talk about as I'm big into leadership and stuff like that. But as when Kobe passed, you saw the number of people that came out and had their each individual story. And it all involved not necessarily even being a great basketball player, but being a competitive person every time you step on the floor, whether you're playing checkers with your grandma, you want to beat the heck out of her, you know, and that's where some of these guys, I think, have got to take the next step. I mean, you want to see these guys. And I think it's just these players, these guys play so many games in summer league. They play so many different types of tournaments and showcases and all these things. And sometimes it just loses meaning. And I think you got to get back to picking a guy that will, every time he steps on the floor, he wants to absolutely step on your throat.
I love that. Boy, that, and right now, I don't think that's Anthony Edwards, but it doesn't mean he can't become that. Kyle Dodd, color analyst for the Arizona State Sun Devil basketball games, right here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station, is filling in as a mystery guest co-host for Wolf, and we hadn't had a chance to talk NBA draft all year, so I wanted to do that. Up next, though, the biggest news in the college game could dramatically affect the pro game, and I'm not talking hoops. That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. The Twitter handle is @KDodd3. Throw in a little underscore in there. And I just retweeted a picture that our station had found. I don't know how far in the archives they had to go to get this. But it's a picture of Kyle Dodd driving against Oregon. Great hair, by the way. Great hair. You know I'm jealous. And I don't know if you remember the picture, but I have to ask. I hope that's part of your gather and you're getting ready to bring it up, because that's a travel. I mean, you got to call that carry if you tried to dribble one more time.
I probably was 100% not shooting. I was getting ready to pass since I shot about three times a game.
That's true. So, didn't you just?
But
lose?
I'll tell my kids I went and dunked on somebody. That's what I'm telling my kids. So.
If I'm not mistaken, you just lost the record for the best assist to turnover ratio in the history of college basketball, didn't you? Like, didn't you have that title for
true.
About 25 years?
I did. And you know what's really cool and crazy about it is the guy that holds it now is a local kid, Casey Benson, who played at Oregon, ended up at Grand Canyon.
Oh, yeah.
And I trained Casey as a kid from seventh grade on and just kind of had a special relationship with him and his family. He's just a great kid. So to get the record broken by somebody's one thing, but to get it broken by a kid that you worked with was pretty cool.
That's cool.
I taught him how to not turn it over.
The pressure is on Kyle Dodd right now, because we have a new mystery guest co-host coming in about 10 minutes, and the word legend fits. So major pressure on Kyle Dodd to be able to finish strong in this beautiful part of the program. This is a huge story that has just been building all week long. Number one, you have Trevor Lawrence, quarterback of Clemson, saying he's not sure whether he's going pro. Now, the reason why that was a story is everybody and their mother knew he was going pro. Everyone in Clemson's been talking about it like crazy. And the thought process is, as he watches the Jets, he's deciding, you know what, maybe Clemson's better. And maybe I should stay. So you have that storyline that then leads into this storyline of a positive COVID test.
Trevor Lawrence tested positive on Wednesday. He got his result back Thursday. But the 10-day clock begins with the onset of symptoms, which is unclear when that was. Now, if he can return for the Notre Dame game, obviously, that's a big deal. But look, I spoke with CFP Executive Director Bill Hancock last night, and while he declined to speculate on any hypotheticals, he did say that the selection committee considers availability of players.
Now, what does this mean? Here's the storyline. Every conference has their own set of rules with COVID-19. In the ACC, it's a positive test, and then you go back to when did the symptoms start. And then you have to go 10 days of no symptoms and negative testing later on within those 10 days, and then you can come back. Well, guess what? 10 days from his positive test is the Notre Dame game. They play Boston College this weekend, but they're supposed to go to Notre Dame. And I ask you the question. You heard them say they're going to take availability into account. I don't think they should. If Clemson loses to Notre Dame and there's a better candidate, I don't think Clemson should be in the championship, in the college football playoff, because, hey, you got to win your games. And if they didn't, and therefore they shouldn't use the excuse, well, we didn't have Trevor. I don't care you didn't have Trevor.
It's one of those things that it's just chalk it up to another crazy part of 2020. It's I think you got to just go by the rules that we've always lived on in sports, and so you got to beat the people in front of you, who, no matter who you have on your team, no matter who they have on their team. And it's just one of those things. I mean, we get it. Is Clemson one of the top teams in the country, if not the best team in the country? Of course they are, if Trevor Lawrence is healthy. Well, he's not. And if you're preaching to your players, and the Dabo, like Dabo Swinney does, and any coach does, hey, next man up, you know, you got to be ready, then that you should be. And it sucks. It's a terrible, terrible, weird, mm-hmm. crazy world that we live in right now, but it's the reality, and everybody has to deal with it. And yeah, I mean, I don't see how you could open up that, you know, can to say where you're going to speculate, oh, well, if they had him, well, you know, it's almost everybody could say that year in and year
exactly.
out. This year, you just have a lot. You have a lot more.
Every team's going to go through this, Kyle. Every team's going to have a player that they miss out on either because of coronavirus or because of an injury, and they're able to come back in a short season. And I look at last year. See, the College Football Playoff Committee said from their inception, their job is to put the four best teams into the playoff. Well, they failed last year. Because Alabama yeah. had a couple losses. Nobody wanted another SEC team. And therefore, they decided, no, you lost to Auburn. We're not going to put you in. But your job wasn't to argue whether or not you won another SEC team. Your only job was top four teams. So you proved last year you've already decided you don't care about what the standard is. So I can easily say when the season's over, Clemson's a top four team. No questions asked. They're a top four team. But if they have a loss on their schedule and there's other teams that are undefeated, you have to take that into account and say, you know what? Your resume isn't as good. You had your playoff chance and you lost to Notre Dame. Now, I think they could beat Notre Dame anyway, but that's not the point right now. It's what's about to happen. This is Greg McElroy staring down the Clemson defense.
It's probably going to be more on their defense than it is on the quarterback spot to expect DJ Uiagalelei or Tyson Pumachon, who's the third string quarterback, who's a redshirt freshman, to expect them to come in and fill that void and do so admirably without any drop off whatsoever is unreasonable.
Now, Kyle, you might not realize this, but the reason why that we brought you on today is we are challenging you to be able to repeat that and make sure that you know who is the backup quarterback for Clemson. Are you ready?
No chance.
What?
No chance.
It's just DJ. All you have to do is say DJ, and then you're perfectly safe. Are you
DJ Uiagalelei?
Are you looking at this and saying, arguing for Clemson to get in no matter what happens or against?
I think, like I said, I think I'm just going to go with the argument that whoever has the best resume, and I think Clemson actually benefits from playing a Notre Dame. Say they were playing a lower level ACC team
yeah.
and they lost because they don't have Trevor Lawrence. That kills you. But because Notre Dame's in the top five, say their defense delivers and they lose in a close game, then yeah, I think that, you know, I could look at that and be like, hey, they're one loss. So maybe there's an undefeated team, but their resume is not as good. Their one loss is to a top four Notre Dame team. Without Trevor Lawrence, I could see that, but and that's why I think it benefits them that they do have an opponent. Now, if they just get blown out of the water, then get them out. You know, you deal with it. You had a tough luck, just like everybody has. But I think that they have to have a good showing.
When's the next time that I'm going to be able to entertain you with my golf game?
I hopefully soon, man. That's because I need a good laugh. It's been a while.
Good to talk to you, my friend. My best to Rhonda. Thanks for filling in for Wolf today.
All right, man.
There's Kyle Dodd joining us on the Coulter Automotive Group Sports Line. Coulter Nissan, west of the hassle. Just go to coulternissan.com for any information on a new or pre-owned Nissan. Coming up next, our final mystery guest. We're talking Cardinals because he's one of the biggest Arizona sports fans in the Valley. Oh, and by the way, he happens to be a legend. That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.